This Week with Ann Carrick and Vincent Caprio, Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Live online at WICC600.com, in addition to WICC 600 AM radio.
Welcome back to This Week with Ann Carrick and Vincent Caprio. If you want to be part of the show, 203-333-WICC, that's 9422, or 1-800-922-6060. We are actually going to talk about the topic we said we were going to talk about, which is health and technology. And our first guest this evening is Mustafa Enalui. And good evening, how are you?
Very good. Thank you, Ann.
Good. And did I pronounce your name correctly, or at least close?
Yes, you did.
Yay.
And you don't thank me, even though we're friends? Come on, bro.
Well, I thank you very much, Vince. You know, Vince knows that I don't need to thank him because I appreciate his contribution to the field of nanotechnology very much.
That's right. So, now, Mustafa, you have a long history in your career of different parts of life sciences and technology and research and development with Pfizer as well as some other people. So, you've been in this role and in this capacity for a long time, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know everything there is to know, right? No. I'm just kidding. Why don't you give us a quick overview first? What are the key developments in the health industry for this year or even in recent history?
That's a very good question. I heard part of your conversation with Vince about the healthcare bill, and which was the hallmark of what President Obama tried to achieve at the beginning of his presidency.
Right.
Without getting into the politics of that, and I must say that although it is commonly referred to as a healthcare bill, this looks like more insurance reform, a partial insurance reform, which seems to have some glitches still legally, and that would be something that is going to drag for a while until 2014. Putting that aside, I think in terms of healthcare and the economy of healthcare, I believe that this is well known that in U.S. we spent about 17% of GDP on healthcare. The cost is rising steadily. It's much more than other countries are spending, including Western Europe and emerging countries.
But when you say that we're spending more, I mean, are we spending more on the treatments? Are we spending more on researching things? I mean, in other words, where are we spending all that money on healthcare?
That's a good question. When you look at the expenditure, and you just imagine that you have a pie chart, almost 30% of the cost goes to the professionals. That includes physicians and nurses and technicians. About 30% goes to healthcare management companies, and less than 10% goes to drug companies. And you can count that there are additional elements into this pie chart, but when you think about it, less than 9% of the entire cost goes to the prescription drug, including brand name and generics there.
So despite the bad rap that pharmaceutical companies get,
absolutely,
the money being spent is not on pharmaceuticals necessarily.
I think when you look at it from a patient perspective, and you have, especially if you're an elderly patient and you have to take maybe up to 10, 12 medicine per day and you are not covered by insurance, that adds up very quickly. But having said that, still is less than 9% of the total cost for the population. Now, part of your question
was, for that individual,
money going,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, it seems that most of attention in U.S. healthcare is on the disease management rather than disease prevention. And that's why, you know, it's much cheaper to prevent disease than treat and maintain the patient after the disease.
Absolutely. Which is why I've never understood why insurance companies don't put more incentives out there for people to be healthier. I worked at IBM near the beginning of my career, and they were, I think, way ahead of their time looking back, because they were self-insured, so they were going to pay if you were not healthy. In other words, it was going to cost the company more money if you were an unhealthy person. But they would actually pay for employees to go to you know, health clubs or gyms to work out or to sign up for an aerobics class or something like that that would make you healthier, or weight loss. In other words, they had all these different things that they had made a deal with different gyms or health facilities that you could sign up for those programs, and IBM would pay for it because it made you a healthier person, and that cost them a lot less money in the long run than having you be unhealthy and having to pay for all of your medical issues later.
Absolutely. And I think in the category of IBM employees or the higher end of the employment, with or without those incentives, people will pay attention to their health. The unfortunate thing is, on the lower scale of social economy, that's where the problem is. Some of them is lack of education, and some of the economy. You know, think about, as a low-income family, how much of healthy food you can buy versus unhealthy food when you go to a food market.
Yeah, because unfortunately, the healthy food does cost more. I mean, in theory, you could eat less quantity, but that's healthier, and it would be better for you than eating more food and having it be not as good, but if somebody's hungry, they just think, I want food, which one's cheaper?
Well,
yeah, right?
No, and that's true, because you can buy a double cheeseburger at one of my favorite restaurants for only a dollar.
There you go.
So you could buy four for $4.
Well, and that's what I'm saying.
That's a meal, man.
When somebody's hungry and you don't have a lot of money, they look at, well, you know, what's the most food I can get for the least number of dollars?
So let's get back to the pharmaceuticals.
Yeah. Well, pharmaceuticals, and so you were starting to say, when I asked you about key things in the health industry, one of them, I guess, that you said, Mustafa, was the amount of money that's spent, and what a small part is pharmaceuticals, and also how we're spending more on treating problems as opposed to